This is the Extraordinary Life Podcast with Archbishop Sam Amaga, bringing you the word of faith and the power of the Holy Ghost.
Praise God. You are welcome to this uncommon service. We are in uncommon times, so the services are uncommon. We are in uncommon times. We are bringing you this teaching today, trusting God that in this hard time, you will still win. I want to declare, number one, that life is about recovery. Your story shall be going up, not coming down. Life is about recovery. Through this period of hard times all over the world, there have been economic hardships, but you shall recover. I want to bring us uncommon keys to winning in hard times. You see, it's important we know that becoming an uncommon success does not come by accident. It takes uncommon preparation. For he that prepares is he that has the power to take the future. Now, everybody is panicking. Rather than panicking, you start preparing. Prepare. He that has the preparation is he that has the power to take the future. And that's what you need to do. It takes uncommon preparation. Number two, it takes uncommon prayers. You see, why do you pray? You pray because you get God involved in what you are doing. And if the hand of the Lord comes upon your business, upon your family, there shall be open doors. You see what he said to Cyrus. He said, I hold your hand. I take your hand. The Lord shall take your hand into the future, this glorious future. He said, then I open before you loins of kings. That's great favor. Kings are decision makers. And for all of you listening to me, the loins of kings shall be put unto you. He said, I break before you the gate of brass. Obstacles that will stop others will be broken before you. He said, and the bars of iron. Because you see, you have taken your time to prepare in prayer. You have gotten the God factor involved in your life. This is the time, people, that the God factor becomes the primary factor in our lives, in our businesses. Number three, it will take uncommon character. Understand this. People patronize you. People run after you. People look for you when there is character and competence. Competence is finishing every assignment given you with excellence. Character is the foundation of every success. People rather prefer, even in interviews, people rather prefer you have character and not too much of skill. Skill can be acquired. Skill, you can be trained to get skill. But character, if you are flawed in character, if you fail in character, you fail in everything. God is expecting. It takes uncommon level of competence, uncommon level of focus and hard work. That's what it takes to win in hard times. Many factors. It takes translating the promise of God into reality in your own life. This is the happy part. Translating the promise of God into reality in your life. That God is happy when the righteous prospers is a fact. He says, let them shout for joy, Psalm 35, verse 27, that favor my righteous cause. This is the right. Those who have become righteous in Christ Jesus, those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, they cannot walk their own righteousness. They are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You stand in the place of Jesus, and God sees you as he sees his son. He said, they favor my righteous cause, number one. Number two, these are the people that pursue the kingdom of God. They want to make the kingdom go forward. They are concerned. Whatever concerns the kingdom concerns them. And listen to me. If whatever concerns the kingdom does not concern you, your issues don't concern God. Now, you need to know this. You can't be casual with God and expect God to be urgent. When you are concerned about whatever affects the kingdom, heaven will be concerned about whatever affects you. Dedication to the kingdom is the mother of your distinction in life. He said, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually from today. Don't say to everybody times are hard anymore. Say something else. He said, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. That God rejoices when you prosper is a fact. So begin to say something differently. Begin to say what God wants you to say. Begin to say, God rejoices in my prosperity. Now take note, you must prepare now. You must start putting down your point. What do I need to do immediately this thing is over? Where do I need to go? What skills do I need to acquire? You can start acquiring those skills on the internet. I told somebody to start learning how to build a website. They that have preparation are the ones that have power for the future. Now, so you need to know this. God rejoices in your prosperity. And that shall be your testimony. Because God wants to raise billionaires. It will take billions. And don't underestimate that. It will take billions to take the gospel to the ends of the world. The gospel came to us free because it's by grace of Jesus, but it's expensive to send it out. It takes expensive things. And that's the reason. Unbelievers are not coming to do that, except those who got pushing like Cyrus did. Now, but believers, that's why God must put it in your hand so that his kingdom does not lack nothing. Zechariah 1:17, through prosperity. It's through prosperity of his servants, of his children like this, of like you, that the kingdom of God will go forward through prosperity. Number three, don't give yourself a sense of sponsoring the kingdom. You are too small to sponsor kingdom. How can you sponsor God? Now give yourself the sense of privilege to be able to invest into the kingdom. Then you are preparing to overcome the hard times. Now, when God says something, it is settled. It's a decree in heaven. In Psalm 119 verse 89, he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled." So this word is settled in heaven. It's a decree right now. Angels watch over it to execute it, that God will permanently take pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. But who are these servants? They are those whose hearts are after the righteousness of the kingdom. Who are these servants? They are those who are pushing the kingdom forward with all that they have. Some people are pushing cocaine, some are pushing drugs, but these ones are pushing the kingdom. As you do, heaven will locate you to bless you. Now, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 8, it shows us clearly. Listen, circumstances may change, but the word of God will never change. Governments may change, but the word of God will never change. People may change, but the word of God will never change. The grass withereth, Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withereth, he says, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. So what he did for Abraham, he will do it for you. What he has said in his word, he will do it for you. But you got to have uncommon preparation, uncommon prayer, uncommon faith. You got to have uncommon commitments to his own kingdom. Let him locate you as somebody who is so dedicated, lovingly dedicated to his kingdom, and your distinction will never be withheld from you. The world is changing rapidly, but God will not change. For verily I say unto you, that Jesus says, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot and one tittle of the word will not pass away. Why are we saying all of this? We want to prepare your heart to understand that if he has done it before, you are the next candidate. In Genesis chapter 12, God just simply spoke to Abraham. He said, move out of where you are. Go to a land I'm going to show you. I'm going to make a new people out of it, a new nation. There was no Jewish nation when God was speaking to Abraham here. No language called Hebrew language when God was speaking to Abraham here. In obedience, Abraham got up. God created a new people out of him. God created a new nation out of him. God created an everlasting covenant out of him. Through the obedience of Abraham, the covenant of Abraham, Jesus came as Savior for the world. Now, what is this? So, if God could do that in the life of Abraham, he can do it for you. Now, but understand that you are on a journey of obedience does not preclude you from challenges. The hard time is upon everybody, but some people are going to win big out of this. Let me say this. You shall come out big. You shall come out better. You shall come out great. In the mighty name of Jesus. You shall come out big. You shall come out better. You shall come out blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus. We heard in Genesis chapter 12 verse 10, even when Abraham was on a journey of obedience, that famine, great famine, covered the entire earth. He said, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. Grievous. The famine was great. The whole economy of the earth now is shut down. And everybody is predicting depression. Depression. Not even recession. Depression. Economic famine. And but listen to me, it does not change your God. It does not change. Famine was great. Now, Abraham simply went in obedience to God. He was on a journey of obedience. Can God locate a heart of obedience in your life? Can God locate a zeal to push his kingdom forward? Can God locate the heart that will make disciples for him? Can God locate a plan in your head? Because faith plans. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 1. The Bible talks about the plan of the heart belongs to man. And God, from God proceeds the wise answer of the tongue. He won't plan for you. You got to sit down and start planning. I'm going to bring that forth some other time. Faith is a great planner. My friend, there are four elements you are going to understand about planning. You shall recover. You shall recover big. You shall come out of this big. You shall come out of this blessed. You shall come out of this better. Now look at how Abraham came out of this. In chapter 13 of Genesis, verse 1 and 2, and Abraham went up to Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. This when he went to Egypt. The Bible shows us very quickly that Abraham became very rich. He was rich in cattle. He was rich in very rich. Understand that. Genesis 13 verse 1 and 2. Abraham became very rich. Now, in chapter 12, problem. In chapter 13, the blessing. What happened? What changed? If God has done that already in the life of Abraham, He will do it for you. That's what I'm saying to you. He can do it for you even now. Prepare big. Prepare with an uncommon prayer. Prepare with uncommon faith. Prepare with an uncommon plan. You shall recover big in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, something that God said to us that is not a respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10 verse 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. So God did not do this because he respected the person of Abraham, but because of the faith. He respected the faith of Abraham. And if he sees that same faith of obedience in you, he will respect your faith. He will do more than this because you are even in the season of grace now. He will do more than this. It is stated clearly in scriptures that God does not respect persons. Now in Romans chapter 2 verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. He doesn't respect your rank in the church. He doesn't respect your title. He respects your faith. That's what God respects, and that's what God wants to see. So if Abraham delightedly obeyed God and he became a delightsome entity before God, if you delightedly obey God, you will become delightsome on planet Earth. Now, in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, the Bible talks about something, how God wants to take delight in blessing the righteous. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, Abraham maybe has heard the counsel of his friends. What are you saying? Where do you want to go? And that's why maybe he was not consulting them a lot. When God said to him, take Isaac, your son, he didn't consult anybody. The Bible says he got up early in the morning, lest they begin to give him wrong counsel. And the wrong counsel of your friends is one of the major reasons why you are not obeying God effectively. Wrong counsels around you, of parents, of relations, wrong counsel is one of the reasons why you are living in disobedience. Now, but Abraham got up early. Now, he said, blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He's not a friend with sinners. Now, you are not keeping enmity with them, but you are not parleying with them. You are not partying with them. You have your distance with respect. You respect them, you love them, and that's the only way you can reach them. He said, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. People speaking against God. People speaking against the church. People speaking against pastors. He doesn't mingle with such people. He said, if God can locate this kind of person, what's the delight of this person? His delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in the word of the Lord, does he meditate day and night? Can God find you there, meditating the word? He said, this man, this woman, this lady, this boy, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. My friend, there is no dry season that can dry up the tree planted by the rivers. No dry season. No hard time can dry you up, my friend, in the mighty name of Jesus. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, my God. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I speak your hands blessed. Whatever you lay your hands to do after this shall be blessed. Your hands shall respond to the blessings of God. Heaven shall respond to the works of your hand. Wherever you were frustrated before, frustration shall give way. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now the righteous here is not a righteous because of what he does. He said, you know, I trekked 10 miles the other time to go and preach. That's not the righteousness that saves you. That can bless you. That can give you reward if you're already saved. The righteousness here is the righteous, the one who has received Jesus as Lord and Savior, who has received the righteousness of Jesus Christ, credited it to his own account. You cannot meet the criteria of this righteousness, but Jesus has met it already. It can be credited into your own account. In fact, if you study the scripture, the Bible says it was Abraham's obedience and faith that made God impute righteousness into him. Imputed, accredited. And that's what you do. When you receive Jesus, the righteousness of God is imputed, is credited into your own account. Now, that he said, this righteous is the one who is going to be blessed. And as you walk your day and your night, refuse to let the devil condemn you. If you falter, please get back to your Father. Don't stay there. It's people that stay in their fault that become enemies of God. And that's what the devil wants to achieve. Want to pull you into sin to become an enemy of God. And God can turn his back against you. But I'm telling you something, his face will shine upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. Chapter 4, in verse 17 and 18, he said, when you have received Jesus, something changes. Something is different. Here is our love made perfect, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as Jesus is, because we have received him now. You have received the Son of God now. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. So you are not less than the Son of God. You are the Son of God. As many as receive him, he gave power to become sons, children of God. And the Bible says, as Jesus is before God, that's how God sees you. You become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, as he is. So there is no fear in love. Therefore, perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. Every fear in your heart today is dismissed in the name of Jesus. Every hidden sin, secret sins that want to break you from your Father, now you repent of them and come to your Father, and he receives you back just like his Son. As Jesus is, so are ye right now in this world. He loves you and he loves the righteous. Now see what he says he will do to the righteous. Number one, he says he will bless the works of your hand. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse number 7, he said, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of your hand. Excuse me. He has already blessed the works of your hand. So as you step into whatever you are doing, begin to pronounce that blessing upon the works of your hand. Every frustration of the devil on the works of your hand, every frustration of the wicked upon the works of your hand, today is dismissed. Because the Lord has already blessed the works of your hand. He knoweth that walking through this great wilderness, all the years of wilderness you have walked through, it shall be put behind you now in the mighty name of Jesus. The hand of the Lord is getting established to make greatness out of you. He said, these 40 years the Lord had been with him, and you have lacked nothing. You are getting to a new phase now. You are putting a phase behind you. You are getting to a new phase. In this new phase, you shall lack nothing. It is a done deal with God. It is a grace deal with God. It is a blessing of the righteous with God. That's what he wants to do. Stay with God and see God bless you. As you pursue success in life, you must keep the principles of righteousness, on understanding that your success is a done deal with God. It's done deal. Now, just as your salvation is a done deal, your success is also a done deal. Now, you didn't do the same blood that gave you your salvation is the same blood that got you saved, born again. And look at what God says as his commitment both to your spiritual life and to your success in life. In the book of 3 John, he says something. I'd like for us to look at this very quickly. 3 John, he says something here. He said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Let it go well with you. That's the word John was using there. And be in health, just as your soul prospers. Let it go well with you all round. Beloved, that it may be well with you, spirit, soul, body, business, health. That's the mind of God. It is a settled entity. Your success is a done deal, and you must understand that. Now, for your salvation, for instance, you took the responsibility of drawing the grace, the gift of grace, by faith. And it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It was your responsibility for your faith to draw the provisions of grace, the extravagant love of God. Draw it by faith. The same way it is your responsibility to draw the provisions of God's success by your faith. Faith is an action. Faith is not just a saying it. Faith is a doing it as well. It's an action. And he said, he that spared not his own son. Now, this is a guarantee God is giving. He said, if I can take a 20-mile walk with you, will 1-mile walk be anything significant? I can do that over and over and over with you. Now, he that spared not his own son, Romans chapter 8, verse 32, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, that means freely also give us all things. If God can give us Jesus, the only begotten son, understand, he said, what else on earth can he not deliver to you with Jesus, not outside Jesus? Now, so those of you who are in Christ Jesus, you have the greatest opportunity to draw on all the marvelous provisions of God. Understand, he says, silver is mine, gold is mine, saith the Lord, in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8. Understand, he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and all that dwell in it. The world, there's gold, there's carbuncle, there's bellium, there is silver, there is all manner of precious stones, there is oil, there is all manner of things filled up here
And he says, they belong to me. That's what God is saying. So it's time not to leave these things for the unbelievers to harvest them. It's time for you. But you see, it's going to be the provision of your faith to know God has promised them to you. And what do you do? Now, that's the work of faith. Now, the Bible says faith is dead as a dead corpse if you don't add works to it. So now if God says he will give you everything along with Jesus, oh my God. Now what are you doing therefore to draw the everything? The greatest gift that God can give you is not riches. The greatest gift is not car, it's not house. The greatest gift was the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift. He has given that gift to you already. That's the greatest gift. Now, and if you have received Jesus, you now stand in a position to draw on all other gifts. Now, in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, he says something that is amazing. And I want you to understand what he's saying here. Chronicles, chapter 29, there's again a proclamation of all things, both in heaven and on earth, belonging to the Lord. That's who owns them. That's who created them. That's and it's amazing. He says he will give them to whoever he wills. Verse number 12 of Chronicles chapter 29. Look at what the Bible says here. Verse number 12. Both riches and honor come from you. His greatest gift is not riches. His greatest gift is Jesus. Now, along with Jesus, for those who are born again, along with Jesus, he said he will give you both riches and honor. They come from him. And he said, you reign over all. In your hand is power and might, and in your hand is it to make great and to give strength unto all. To make great, to make great. And I see God making greatness out of you. Out of this disaster, God shall make greatness out of you. From this disaster, God shall make greatness out of you. To make great and to give strength unto all. He said, this come from you. That's why I said quickly again that the greatest gift God will give you is not riches. It's not a house. It's not a car. The greatest gift God will give you is a gift of himself, even Jesus Christ. And having received Jesus, along with Jesus, you have access to everything. And that's where your faith must walk. Your faith must walk. Your faith is what makes you put your hand to do something. It is that what you do with your hands that God begins to bless. Now, many times we're mistaking the blessing of God and we fold our arms and praying in tongues and thinking it will fall from heaven. It's not going to fall from heaven. Somebody, out of what you are doing, God will change your story permanently. When he gives his wealth, he gives it permanently. Amen. When he gives his wealth, he gives it permanently. Now, understand that the people who are not born again can get riches. Understand that. But you see, it's full of sorrows. It's full of all manner. That's why they develop all manner of chronic diseases and the sorrows that come with unblessed wealth. God shall bless the works of your hand. God shall bless the things he's put in your own hand in the name of Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22, it says, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and does not add any sorrow. Let me speak. Every sorrow added to the riches of the unbelieving world is taken away from you. You shall be blessed, you shall be healthy, you shall be happy, you shall be great, you shall be big in the mighty name of Jesus. Every sorrow added to the blessings of the unrighteous, people who are not in covenant, is removed from you in Jesus' name. Look at what it says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse number 7. It says, the Lord hath blessed thee. Now, take note of that word in King James, hath blessed thee. The Lord has already. So your blessing, your riches, your wealth, your success is a done deal. The Lord has already blessed thee in all the works of your hand. My friend, put your hand to do something. Put your hand to do something. That's where the blessing is coming from. The Lord has already blessed thee in all the works of your hand. He knoweth that walking through this great wilderness, these 40 years, this great time of the lockdown, everything has been like a wilderness. The Lord knows you have gone through this wilderness, but he has blessed thee. And look at what the Bible says. The Lord has been with you. That's why you didn't die like others died. The Lord has been with you. That's why your businesses did not totally collapse. And even if it collapsed, listen to me, it shall rise again. It shall take on new life again. The Lord had been with you. And he said, and you have lacked nothing. You have lacked nothing. Now listen, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Where the spirit of lack is today, I supplant it with plenty. in the mighty name of Jesus. You can count on God to do what he says he will do. But first, he said he will bless you along when you have Jesus. He said, if he has given his son, then what else will he not give you along with him? He will bless you along when you have Jesus. And what happened when you have Jesus? You become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what happened. And God delights in blessing the righteous. He blessed Abraham with old age. He blessed Abraham with wealth. And those are the things he's going to bless you with. The Bible shows us in the book of Genesis chapter 24. And it says, Abraham was old. Abraham was old. And God had blessed him in all things. That shall be your story. You shall not be lacking and becoming a needy in old age. You shall have enough to be a blessing to other people. In the mighty name of Jesus. The same way God blessed Abraham, that same way God is going to bless you. But understand, Abraham's hand was on rearing cattle. Abraham's hand was doing something that God was blessing. And as you put your hand doing something, something that is part of your purpose in life, God is going to bless you. Pursue the blessing of the Lord, not just the blessing. Pursue the blessing of the Lord, not just blessing. How do you pursue the blessing of the Lord? It is pursuing God first, pursuing his kingdom first. When you pursue his kingdom, he says all other things will be added unto you. That's how to begin to pursue the blessing of the Lord. When you begin to pursue the kingdom of God first. CEOs all over the world are pursuing the kingdom of God now. Now, heads of states, one of the presidents of a West African country was seen lying face down before God in prayers for his country. Those are the countries God blesses. Face down before God for his country. Those are the countries God is blessing. Now listen to me. Pursue the blessing of the Lord, for that's the blessing that maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It does not add any sorrow. Now some people pursue the blessing. Pursue riches, they lose their health. That's not a blessing of the Lord. They lose their marriage. That's not a blessing of the Lord. They lose their life. That's not a blessing of the Lord. They even covenant their lives to the devil. That's not a blessing of the Lord. You pursue the blessing of the Lord by pursuing God's righteousness and God's kingdom. As you invest into God's kingdom, as you seek him first, as you rise up early in the morning, you spend your time with God, you spend your time in the Word, you spend your time in prayer. You are disciplined to do this. Then you go and put your hand on what you are doing, itemize what you want to accomplish for the day, go pursue them. The Bible said the blessing of the Lord has already followed you. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord your God hath blessed thee in the works of thy hand. Has already blessed you. Praise the Lord. And I speak that blessing follow you and your family. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak that blessing follow you and your family. The real rich people serve the Lord. The real rich people whose wealth abide serve the Lord. Now, the people who go around in pride of their riches and wealth, they're in trouble. Now, if you see what is happening, and check the book of Deuteronomy, Babylon, the systems of the world is under judgment right now. He said the merchandise, the ships on the sea were under judgment. Look at ships lined up on the sea with oil and nobody to buy the merchandise. That's prophetic fulfillment. And yet, in the midst of this, God wants to bless you. He wants to change your story. Your strong partnership with the Holy Spirit will create a big impact and success in life. Amen. Amen. That's what is coming upon you. It's not going to come by your power. It's not going to come by your strength. It will come by the power of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah, he said, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Whatever has resisted you today by the power of the Holy Spirit that you partner with, it shall give way. It shall give way in the name of Jesus. It shall give way in the name of Jesus. If you walk through the principles of the Word of God, your life will be full of God's fullness. If you walk through with the principles of the Word of God, your life will be full of God's fullness. From the entry of your life to exit from life, you shall see the blessings of the Lord. Listen, methods will change, but principles will never change. Methods do change, but principles will never change. Principles are permanent. Principles are established upon the word of God. Now, you know something? Let me say this. The principle by which locomotive train used to walk in those days has changed. It used to be burning a lot of coal to move. That's when you used to hear a lot of noise. Chicka, 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 chicka. But these days, a train can pass by your side and you just say, is gone. Because some of these use electricity now. The methods have changed, but the principles of motion is the same. Now, everything will change, but the principles, the life you establish on the principle of the Word of God will never change. Success you establish on the principles of the Word of God will never change. Listen, one of such principles will be principle of integrity, will be principle of discipline, will be principles of accountability, will be principles of truth, and a defined working habit. Somebody sent a post while listening to Grace this morning. It said, habit 6 a.m. Hashtag, habit 6 a.m. is forming a habit. Listen, what you do, what makes you successful is what you do daily, not what you do occasionally. You create a habit. You create a success habit. Discipline is a success habit. Accountability is a success habit. Integrity is a success habit. Prayer is a success habit. Depth in the Word is a success habit. That's when you can meditate on scriptures. That's when you can draw the Word of God. That's when you can, your faith can begin to translate the Word of God into reality in your life. And you know when God says He has blessed you already, He has. It's a done deal. But your faith must draw the blessing from the spirit realm into your physical realm. These are time-tested principles that you need to build your life upon. And when you build your life upon these time-tested principles, it is building your life, your family, your business upon a rock. When storms come, like the coronavirus that shut down the economy of the entire world, when storms come, when fire comes, when rain comes, your life will stand and be stable. But there are some people who permanently already shifted, like shifting sand, and there's nothing you can do about it. There are some people forever, they are gone, their life is gone, their business is gone, everything is collapsed. There's nothing to pick out of this remnant, because it was not originally built on the principles of the Word, not originally built on principles of integrity and discipline and prayer and productivity and accountability. Success. Jim Rohn said something many years ago. He said, success is not more than the natural consequence of constantly applying the fundamentals of success. So what are those fundamentals? Number one, let's look at discipline as a big fundamental. Uncommon achievers build their lives on cultivated discipline lifestyle. A man said long ago, discipline is a fundamental of success. People who are not, who cannot be disciplined, cannot enjoy success. People who cannot apply discipline to their lives cannot. Now listen, let me establish it. Cannot enjoy abiding success. I knew a young man, his father was very rich in Nigeria. Very rich. Extremely rich. Sent him to London to school. Driving big cars on the street in London. But by the seventh year, he could not even graduate with first degree yet. By the ninth year, he was not a graduate yet. Because he just couldn't be disciplined. There are people whose parents don't have the money his father has and have graduated by the fourth year. Now you see, money is not a reason for sustained wealth. Discipline, integrity, accountability, and all of these fundamentals of success are going to be the reason for your sustained success. And Jim Rohn says something, it's what you do, success is a consequence of what you constantly apply yourself to. And Mike Murdoch will say, you are a product of what you do daily, not what you do occasionally. Discipline is one of the strongest anchors of your success. Another man says, it takes discipline to save. It takes savings to seize investment opportunities. The man who said this is a multi-billionaire today. Started from saving his kobo. Today he's up there. It takes discipline. Whereas his own colleagues there were buying pleasure cars and wanted to start life in big cars and big houses, he started with a small car and saving up a lot of his money. His life and his assets, his wealth is over hundreds of billions today. It takes discipline. Wherever you are, you can discipline yourself and succeed. I listened to a 30-year-old man speak a few days ago. He said he started work at 20 and he made up his mind that whatever he was earning, he would save up 70%. So he did not go running after big cars like his colleagues were doing. He said he got a $700 car that you will call maybe B or C class Tokumbo, right? He got a $700 car and he rented an $800 house. In the city where he stayed, a good luxurious flat might be about $3,000 a month. But he went for what he could save money from. So he said he did this for many years and saved up millions of dollars. and invested them, and he's now at 30 only supervising his investments. He said, now my money is working for me. I no longer work for money. It took discipline to get to that point. Discipline. Discipline. A group of people have started this movement encouraging young people and everyone, save as much so you can create a future. It takes discipline. Discipline. Discipline to do this. Now, why do people hate the word discipline? They don't like it. Jim Rohn says, the word immediately brings to your mind the hefty-looking father with cane in his hand. That's what the word discipline brings to your mind. A hefty-looking father with cane. It pumps into your memory the chastisement from an aunt. Some aunts put egg of fresh fire in the hand of a little girl because they say he has stolen their 10 kobo or something, or 1 naira or something. Now, that's the word, what discipline. It brings into your mind a sergeant in the army and what he can do. But that's not just all about discipline. Discipline is what you apply to yourself. A perspective is the bridge between your thoughts, your plans, and your achievements. That's discipline. It's the bridge between your thoughts, your plans, and your achievements. Now, you diligently apply yourself to discipline. Discipline your spending. Discipline your taste for luxury. Discipline, and you are going to save up, and it is those savings that are going to take advantage of opportunities. That's what discipline do. Understand that lousy people also plan, but their plans kill them because they are never disciplined enough to save the first naira. A lousy man will say, oh, I'm going to build an hospital. But he's lousy enough, he couldn't save the first 1,000. I'm going to do this. Lousy people are not disciplined. But may God put a spirit of discipline in your life, in your expenses, in your going forth. That's the bridge between your thoughts and your accomplishment. The bridge between your plans and your achievement. It's the bridge of discipline. As you pass over this bridge of discipline, you shall come out to the glorious level of your life where we shall share testimonies with you in the mighty name of Jesus. As you pursue success in life, pursue God, and your day shall be made. You are the miracle ready to happen. You shall happen in your generation in the mighty name of Jesus. Log on to freshimpact.store. You are going to have some of our books there. The Spirit of Faith, Faith, the Force of a Winning Faith, Faith for the Extraordinary Life, Making Things Happen. They're going to have a lot of these books there, and they will be a blessing to you in the mighty name of Jesus. If somebody's not born again today, I'd like to lead you to Christ. Listen, the Bible says, thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee above your fellows. Anointed thee with gladness above your fellows. That's what you need now. A heart of gladness, a heart of joy, a heart of celebration. But it comes when you have come into the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Any wonder when you get born again, you are full of joy? That's what happened to me December 1972. I couldn't contain the joy. I didn't know where the joy was coming from. But I just got to know that something has happened in the heavenlies. That the joy I was feeling was the countenance of the Holy Spirit. Now today, you can become a pleasure to God. You can give your life to Jesus. You can come home today. When you do, heaven will watch over you pleasantly. Will look upon you pleasantly. Now pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me your own. Today I declare that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I proclaim Jesus as Lord because I believed in my heart. And today I'm saved. I'm a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. You can log on to Fresh Impact Bookstore. Download the book, A New Chapter in Your Identity. Study it chapter by chapter. By chapter. Oh my God. By the time you are running through all the chapters, your life cannot be the same. The Lord gave me that book in 1985, August 1985, to disciple people with it. And as I wrote each chapter, I was using to teach, and most of those who were disciples, some of them are preachers today, running great ministries today. You can be great, you can be established, and the Lord bless you real good in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Extraordinary Life Podcast with Archbishop Sam Amaga.